Let's share.
Praise God. Amen. Good morning, MCF. It's great to be here this morning, and such a privilege to see all of you. And I bring greetings from Sri Lanka, the pearl of the Indian Ocean. It's paradise. And if you've never visited Sri Lanka, I've been trying to get Pastor Rob for the last 10 years to Sri Lanka. Hopefully, very soon. This morning, I want to bring greetings from my family as well. I just want to bring a few updates from my family. I just have a picture that I want to show you today. That is the picture. I have two kids. That's my family. That's my wife, beautiful wife, Leanne. And then that's Elisa, whom Pastor Rob spoke about. She's 6 years old. I feel like I already have a teenager at 6 years. You know, she's talkative, she's talking a lot. And then I've got my son, who is 2 years, and my wife is doing all the hard work at home right now while I'm here in Australia speaking to you. She's looking after the two kids, and it's been a great journey. And I've been so blessed to have this family, and Leanne has been, you know, very much part of our journey together. In 2015, we started this conference called Voice, and I also want to show you a video that, you know, I just want you to know what you are part of. You know, MCF has been part of our journey for the last 10 years. In January, we'll be celebrating 10 years of the move of God that that God has begun back in 2015. So I'm looking forward to the next 10 years, but as much as I look forward to the next 10 years, I also want to reflect on what God has done. I'm so grateful for the partnership that MCF has had for the last decade, and I just want you to just look at the screens for a few moments, and we're just going to play a video from the conference that we had 2 years ago, and I just want to remind you of what you are part of. So why don't we
Hi everybody, this is Voice Conference 2022.
Just want to honor Pastor Rob and Pastor Dennis and the entire MCF family for being part of our journey. We've actually, last 10 years, we've reached and touched through our conferences, through our events, 25,000 young people across the nation, and more than 500 churches in our country has been participating in our conferences and our events as well. Along with that, one of the uniqueness of this whole move of God that God has been doing across our nation is that we've seen interdenominational unity and gatherings taking place all across our nation as well. So more than 25 denominations and church networks have been representing the move that God has begun in our nation. And I just want to say once again, thank you, MCF, for the amazing, amazing partnership. And your generosity has impacted nations. And I just want to say thank you on this Mission Sunday. And also, it's one thing to be a blessed Christian, but it's another thing to be a blessing. And I know that God has called us to be a blessing, a channel of His blessing, not just, you know, in our own sphere, but also to the ends of the earth. You know, He told Abraham, I will bless you, Abraham, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And such a great honor, such a great privilege to actually, you know, be part of this whole family, MCF, and you know, to come here every year. And we want to honor you, Pastor Rob and Pastor Dennis. So why don't we put our hands together and help me honor Pastor Rob and Pastor Dennis for being part of our journey. You know, this morning I want to bring God's word, and I believe, you know, all things are possible to those who believe. Can someone shout amen to that? All things are possible. Shall we say that together? All things are possible. There is nothing impossible for you if, you know, if you truly believe that God can do the impossible for you, right? And I want to speak to you tonight, to this morning. The title of my message is For 10 Grains of Salt. For 10 Grains of Salt. One of the first things that I did when I landed in Brisbane yesterday was to get an Eggs Benedict, right? A breakfast, Eggs Benedict. I love Eggs Benedict. You know, I can't get that back home, right? Every time I come here, I make sure that I have Eggs Benedict, you know, every breakfast, every meal, right? Eggs Benedict, right? Anyone loves Eggs Benedict here? I mean, you love Eggs Benedict. And we know we add salt into Eggs Benedict just to add flavor. We know that one of the things that salt does is it adds flavor. And you don't need a big bottle of salt. All you need a few grains of salt, it makes a difference. In the same way, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you know, let's look at that scripture. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, you know, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, right, what good is it? It's good for nothing. But the Bible says, you know, Jesus, when He said, you know, you are the salt of the earth, you know, your very presence on this earth, it makes a huge difference. And I wonder whether there are people here who are, you know, questioning about the existence of your presence here, you know, your existence here on this earth, whether you are questioning, whether you are doubting, whether, you know, whether you are worthless or whether you, I mean, whether you're doubting your existence here on this earth. But I want to encourage you this morning, and I want to challenge you that your presence makes a huge difference because you are called the salt of the earth. And just like, you know, you add flavor, in the same way, you add flavor to the earth before in the sight of God. You know, when you add a few grains of salt, you know, the person who is consuming that food, you know, begins to enjoy that food. Did you know that God enjoys this earth because of the church of Jesus Christ? There is no other reason why God should enjoy this earth, because this earth is full of darkness. This earth is full of wickedness. But God says, because of my people here on this earth, because of my church that I'm building here on this earth, can someone shout amen? You know, because of my people whom I have made righteous, you know, God says, I enjoy the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. You make a huge difference in this city. You make a huge difference. Your presence becomes the reason why God begins to enjoy this earth. You know, He begins to deal with this earth in a way that He would, sometimes, you know, because of our presence, you know, God begins to deal with this earth in a way that He would not if we were not here on this earth, right? Right? Because he begins to enjoy this earth. And I want to take you through some stories from the Bible and to show you how, You know, God's people made a huge difference in the way God dealt with the earth, right? And I feel in my heart that, you know, your very presence here on this earth, you know, becomes the reason why God would begin to deal with situations that you are facing right now in a different manner. And you are that difference. You are that reason why God would make a difference, why He would deal with certain situations differently. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 18. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, how God, you know, begins to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And before He could do that, He goes to a man called Abraham. Abraham lived by faith. How many of you know, but if you really want to make a difference, you got to live by faith. You got to live by faith. You know, you don't, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we live by faith. We do not live by sight. You know, sometimes, you know, it's very easy to live by sight, to live by what we see from our five senses. We can perceive information from our five senses, and we can be controlled by what we see in the natural realm. But faith relates to the unseen. Faith takes you beyond the visible world, the natural world, and it relates you into eternity, into an eternal realm where God is. That's why the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. Everybody shout out faith, right? Faith is the currency of heaven. You can exchange, you can bring, download things from heaven to this earth if you walk by faith. And that's the way how God connects to this earth. He looks for people who have faith. And when you become the salt, if you really want to make a difference on this earth, the key is faith. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, God says, then you become the salt. You become a significant influence on God's plan and purposes here on this earth. And this morning, I want to encourage you, you know, just like I shared, you know, all things are possible to those who believe. Faith is the key to bring heaven down to this earth. Faith is the key. You got to walk by faith. You got to walk by hearing God's word, because God's word produces faith. You know how faith comes? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You know, when you begin to hear the word of God, you produce faith in your life. You know, sometimes, you know, people think, you know, faith is just positive thinking, wishful thinking. No, faith is not that. Faith is not wishful thinking. You know, faith is, the basis for faith is God's voice. It's the ability to hear the voice of God. And when you hear His voice, you move by faith. Right? And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, sometimes we have hope without faith. But, you know, hope without faith is just wishful thinking. The problem with wishful thinking is there is no 100% guarantee that it would happen. And that's why a lot of Christians, a lot of people, you know, they have wishful thinking. They have hope without actually hearing a word from God. They produce hope, which becomes their wishful thinking, and there is no 100% guarantee that it would happen, and they face disappointment, and they go into depression, they go into many, you know, mental health issues, because their hopes have been, you know, their hopes have disappointed them. But can I encourage you today? You know, when you are walking by faith, you will walk by hearing the word of the Lord. You will walk by hearing a promise from God. And that promise, that now faith, that now word will always produce a now faith that will give you hope for the future. Hallelujah. And I feel in my spirit this morning that there are many people who are going to hear a rhema word from God, a now word from God. Hallelujah. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, you know, it says, now faith. Everybody say, now faith. Faith has to be in the now. Hope is about the future. Amen. Faith is in the present, but hope is in the future. When you receive a word in season from God, when you receive a promise from God, you begin to produce now faith. So your faith is not existing, or your, the basis for your faith is not something that you receive from the past or something that you are hopeful about the future, but your faith is produced on the basis of receiving a rhema, a now word in season, a promise that that you have downloaded from God. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right? You got to receive from God. You got to hear from God. That's why Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice. You know, the reason why he said my sheep hears my voice is, you know, he was telling us the distinctive mark of a true Christian is the ability to hear God's voice. And when you begin to hear the voice of God, it will produce now faith. And that will help you to walk by faith. And you will not be dominated or you will not be controlled by what you see. But when you begin to live by faith, that's when you become the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. That's when you become, that's when you make a difference here on this earth. And you become the very reason why God would begin to fulfill his purposes here on this earth. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is God's church, it is God's people who are living by faith, who are justified by faith, who are walking by faith, that begins to make that difference. Amen. And Abraham in this story, you know, was a man who lived by faith, and he became the salt. He became the reason why God wanted to fulfill his purpose here on this earth. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 21 onwards, when we read that scripture, we see that, you know, when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he goes to Abraham and he begins to tell Abraham what he was about to do. And in verse 21, it says, "And then I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." How many? 50 righteous people. "If I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the city." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" Now this is called bargaining. This is called negotiating. And have you ever gone to, you know, overseas and tried to bargain things? You know, this is Abraham bargaining. He's a good negotiator. He's negotiating with God. You know, 5 less than 50. 45 people, God said, "I will spare it." "What if there are 40? For the sake of 40, I will not do it," God said. Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10, everybody say 10, 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. So the story here is about how God begins to negotiate with, or Abraham begins to negotiate with God and intercede on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God was about to destroy this city because of its wickedness. You know, God was about to bring his judgment, his wrath on this city. But then he tells Abraham, "Abraham, you know, for the sake of 50 people, I will spare this city." So somehow Abraham manages to bring down the number to 10. 10 people. You know why? Because, you know, he had his nephew Lot in that city. You know, Lot chose Sodom as a place where he was going to settle. And Lot had a wife. He had six daughters, three were married with husbands and three were unmarried. So that amounts up to 11 people. So Abraham assumed that Lot would be, you know, Lot would have done his job, that he would have been walking by faith and he would be walking right before God. And I'm sure if Lot was walking right before God, then his family also would be walking right before God. So Abraham stopped negotiating, you know, from the number 10. He did not go further. But God says, one of the principles that I want you to understand here is God says, for the sake of 10 people, I will spare a city. I will deal with this city differently for the sake of 10 people, 10 righteous people, 10 who would be the salt of that, you know, city. I would deal with it differently. I will deal with that situation differently. You know, but unfortunately, we know the end of that story was, you know, God could not find 10 people because Lot had failed to walk before God, walk right before God, and his family, you know, his family departed from the ways of God. So God could not find 10 people, and as a result, God's wrath came upon Sodom. You know, sometimes, you know, when we do not walk by faith and when we walk by sight, you know, when Lot chose Sodom, Lot chose from what he saw. And when he chose from what he saw, by what he saw, you know, he began to put himself in a situation and his family in a situation where he could not really get them out of. You know, sometimes when we choose by what we see and not by what we hear from God, we put ourselves in situations where we can't really get ourselves out of those situations. And that's why it's important that, you know, the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ, Christians, true Christians who believe in the power of the cross, who believe in the redemption power, who believe that they're justified by faith, they need to keep walking by hearing the voice of God and voice of God alone. Hallelujah. We are not a people who choose by sight. We are not a people who walk by sight, but we are a people who walk by faith. But Lot chose in a different way. He chose Sodom by what he saw. And he got himself into a situation where he could not get himself out again. But then we know the story ends by, you know, God's wrath came. But the principle is, you know, for 10 righteous people, God was willing to spare that city. Isn't that amazing? For 10 righteous people, God was willing to deal with that city with his mercy and with his grace. And that's what I want to talk to you about, you know, how your presence, you know, your presence would cause God to deal with situations differently. And when I did some, you know, research on how many people actually lived in Sodom, you know, there is no direct information that from the scriptures to tell us how many the population of Sodom and Gomorrah. But when you really study how many people around those cities or in other cities who lived, you know, it's safe to assume that there were more than 10,000 people in Sodom at that time, more than 10,000 people. And so God says, for 10 people, I'm willing to spare 10,000 people. So for one person, I mean, for one righteous man, God was willing to spare 1,000 wicked people. And that was the proportion. I mean, I believe the proportion is true today. You know, for when God says you are the salt of the earth, you know, he's not looking, he's not worried about numbers. He's worried about the quality of life. He's worried, he's concerned about, you know, your faith in Jesus Christ, whether you are growing in your faith. And sometimes you might be worried about, okay, I'm outnumbered in this situation. But don't worry about that. You may be outnumbered. But, you know, one plus God is always a majority. Amen? You know, if God is for you, then who can be against you? Hallelujah. Right? Only three people are excited, right? If God is for you, who can be against you? One plus God, one righteous man plus God is always a majority in the sight of God. So for 10 righteous people, he was willing to spare that entire city. It was true about, you know, when God chose, you know, an army through Gideon. You know, Gideon brought 32,000 people and he was telling God, God, I'm ready to fight this battle. But God says, you know, it's too many people. You need to, you know, cut down some people. You need to fire some people. So on the other side of the camp, it was 132,000 people, right? And it was always outnumbered. But God says it was too many. Sometimes when we think we have too little, God says it's too many. And sometimes, you know, we give excuses. We think, okay, what I have is too little. You know, my gift is too insignificant. My presence is not really, you know, felt enough. You know, sometimes you might think, you know, the role that you have, the position that you have is too insignificant. But God says, no, that's not what I'm looking for. You are the salt of the earth, right? You are the salt of the earth. Your presence is God's presence here on this earth. Your presence makes a difference when it comes to how God would deal with this earth. Your presence is the very reason why God begins to enjoy this earth. You begin to commend this earth to God. Hallelujah. And you are the salt of the earth. Can someone shout amen? And you have a purpose. You have a plan. And God has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. And it says in Gideon's story how God began to, you know, filter a lot of people out of that 32,000 people. Right? Now, if I was a military commander, I would think Gideon was nuts. Right? To take 300 people against 132,000 people. Right? 300 people. But the way he, you know, how God, you know, brought down that number was amazing. You know, when Gideon had 32,000 people, God says, you know, make an announcement, a public announcement. The announcement is, if you are afraid of battle, then why don't you send them home? Give them, you know, they can give their resignations in and they can go back home. And the Bible says 22,000 people left that day when Gideon made that announcement, right? Gideon made that announcement. If you are fearful, if you are afraid, then give your resignations now. 22,000 people left that day. Do you know when you have fear, you know, you're disqualified from the plans of God. You're disqualified from making a difference. Fear and faith does not really go together. Right? The Bible says God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And today, if you are struggling with a spirit of fear, today my prayer is that, you know, we rebuke that spirit of fear over your life, that you will break out of fear, but you will begin to walk by faith. You begin to walk by trusting God and God alone. And 22,000 people left that day, and 10,000 were remaining. And out of the 10,000, God tells Gideon, take them to the water and see how they drink water. The test was how they drank water. And if you and I were a commander, an army captain or an army soldier, we would think, you know, who would choose soldiers by testing them by how they drink water? Right? Sometimes, you know, God's wisdom is always greater than our wisdom. We got to trust in God's wisdom. So Gideon was faithful. Gideon was obedient. And out of those 10,000 people, only 300 passed the test. 300 people. Again, I want to remind us again that, you know, 300 versus 132,000, it was outnumbered. But for God, it was not about the numbers. It was about the quality of people. It was about, you know, for the sake of thousands of people, he chose 300 people. And how, you know, when Gideon took that 300 and went into the enemy's camp, you know, there were thousands of Israelites watching behind the scenes. They were on the sidelines. They were watching what was going to happen with these 300 guys who would go and attack the enemy's camp. And when they charged into the enemy's camp, the Bible says God began to confuse the enemy's camp. And then there were thousands of Israelites who were watching from the sidelines. They saw how the breakthrough was coming for the Israelites in the enemy's camp. And thousands of people began to join after the initial breakthrough. And that's another principle that I want you to understand. You might feel like, you know, you have very little, but when you push forward, when you begin to trust God, when you begin to advance the kingdom of God with the little that you have, when the initial breakthrough comes, then thousands are going to join you. Hallelujah. Thousands will watch. Thousands will witness. Thousands will begin to appreciate and applaud the breakthrough and the testimonies that God has given you. And He will begin to restore everything that He has lost. Hallelujah. And He is using you. He is using me. He is using all of us as the salt of the earth to bring breakthrough, to bring revival, to bring a move of God across this earth. And we are the salt of the earth. A few grains of salt will make a huge difference here on this earth. Hallelujah. And this morning, I really want you to know that God is looking for people who will walk by faith, who will become the salt of this earth. Don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about becoming the majority. All you have to focus is to walk by faith and not by salt. There is another story that is in the Bible, you know, about the promised land, you know, how God, you know, or rather Moses sent 12 spies to the land. And out of the 12 spies, 10 brought a negative report, right? 10 people. But then there were two guys, Caleb and Joshua, who brought, you know, a positive report, right? Now, I know today there is so much of negativity in the world today. So much of negativity. Media bombards us with negativity. There are so much of negative information, negative news. But then there were two guys out of the 12. They were not the majority, right? They were just a minority. Two people who brought a positive report. When 10 guys said, "We cannot take this land," two guys came and said, "We can. Because God has promised us this land," right? I wonder whether there are people here in this room who would be willing to speak God's promises over this earth, who would be willing to speak God's word over this earth. When the world says we can't do it, the Church of Jesus Christ will hold on to the promise of God, will begin to proclaim His promise and say, "We can, because God has promised. God has said it. If God has said it, then He will do it. If God begins something, then He will complete it, because He is the author and He is also a finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. If He begins something, then He will complete it." Can someone shout amen? If He says it, He will fulfill it. He is a faithful God. And when we begin to proclaim God's promises, you will begin to see your reality change. Your environment begins to shift. Your atmosphere begins to change. Why? Because there are people who are speaking the promises of God. So Caleb and Joshua, you know, in the midst of great negativity, they came and spoke the promises of God. And today I want you to know that God has promised revival. He has promised to fill this earth with His glory, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has promised that. And there should be the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, who would be proclaiming, declaring the promises of God over this earth. And I believe that, you know, we are the salt of the earth. We are the ones who make a difference here on this earth. We are the ones who would carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in Australia, but to the ends of the earth. We are the salt. We are the light of the world. Without us, there will be no light at all here on this earth. And that's why Jesus said, "You are the light." The word "the" makes us exclusive. We are the only light that the world would ever experience. And that's why the Church of Jesus Christ has to rise up. The Church of Jesus Christ has to move into revival. The Church of Jesus Christ has to walk by faith, walk by the Spirit, and they must begin to fulfill everything that God has spoken over this nation. And you might be in various stages in life, but no matter what stage or no matter what age, your significance is so much that God says, you are the salt. For 10 grains of salt, for 10 righteous people, I would begin to deal with your situation differently, with grace and with mercy. Maybe today you are here in a situation where you feel like that you are outnumbered. Maybe it's overwhelming for you to, you know, face certain situations in your life. Maybe it could be a family situation. Maybe it could be a workplace situation. Maybe it could be a national crisis that you are facing right now. Maybe it could be a financial crisis. And you might feel like, you know, you are outnumbered. But God says, don't underestimate your presence in that situation. Don't forget that your presence becomes my presence. You know, your very presence becomes God's opportunity to show his light into a dark world. And that's who you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. For 10 grains of salt, God was willing to spare a nation. And I believe if there were 10 people who would put their hands up and say, Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to make a difference because I understand that you live in me now. Your very presence is inside me. And when you begin to put your hand up and say yes to God, yes to the call of God on your life, God begins to use you in a mighty way that you become a blessing to the ends of the earth. You become a blessing to nations. Amen. 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 And I feel, you know, today, you know, Holy Spirit is here, to enlighten you with this whole word and this truth that God wants to speak to you today, that your presence or your existence here on this earth is a very powerful, powerful existence. Never underestimate that. Never think that, you know, you were born by accident. You were born without a reason. But God has caused you to live here in this generation for such a time as this because he wants to outwork his purposes here on this earth. God has a plan for his people, and that is a plan to prosper you. He has a purpose to fulfill, and God's purposes will always prevail. Amen. His purposes will always prevail. His purposes will always prevail. All things are possible to those who believe. Maybe facing an impossible situation, but take heart, take courage, because God is about to do something powerful in your life. Amen. I just want to read Psalm 27 verse 13, and I want to end this morning, and I want to pray for you right now in a few moments. Psalms 27 verse 13. This is what the word of the Lord says, right? Verse 13. It says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In some version it says, I would have lost heart unless I believed. Everybody say believe. Everybody say believe. That's a weak believe. So we say believe, believe. All right. So Bible says, you know, I would have lost heart. I would have given up unless I had faith, unless I believed that I will see the goodness of the land or goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Today, faith will help you to overcome many challenges. And you would have given up unless you believed in God. You would have lost heart. You would have got discouraged unless you had faith in Christ Jesus. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your belief. Don't let the world influence what you believe about eternal life, what you believe about Jesus Christ. You would have lost faith. You would have lost heart unless you believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many of you know that you are going to experience the goodness of God in your life? Amen. In this land, in the land of the living, you are going to experience the goodness of God. God's goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. So can we just stand for a moment right now? Right, we're going to pray right now in a few moments. And I want to release God's blessing over your life as you begin this journey with God to walk by faith and not by sight. If you are saying, Lord, I want to walk by faith, there are too many things that have influenced my decisions, too many things that has influenced my future, my present circumstance. You know, the natural world has dominated, has controlled by the way I live. The natural world has influenced the way I live. Today I want you to know, you know, break out of that limitation and begin to step into the faith realm where you would walk by faith. You would walk by hearing God's voice. My sheep hears my voice. Would you just lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm willing to walk by faith. I'm willing to walk by faith. I am the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth. I'm the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We worship your name. Kiana maturu bashatiata rakakana maturu banamatiata raba. Lord, our presence will make a difference, Lord. Our presence will make a difference. I pray that you fill your church with the power of Holy Spirit, with the power of Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you fill your people with your presence, with your light, with your glory, my Lord. Lord, that they would become the light. They would become the light in this nation. They would become the light in this city, Lord. They would become the salt in this city, Father. I pray that, Lord, that they would be the ones that would commend this earth to you, Lord. And Lord, you would begin to deal with situations differently because of your people here on this earth, my Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. Just begin to lift your hands. There is a wind of God's Holy Spirit that is coming over the church. That's the anointing of God. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by His Spirit that lives in us. It is by His Spirit that lives in us. Begin to receive that breath of life. Begin to receive that wind, the wind of God, the wind of the Holy Spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We release your anointing, Father. We release your anointing all over this room. All over this room, Lord. All over this room, Lord. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. I pray that, Lord, that you would activate your people to the supernatural realm. Activate your people to the voice of God. Activate your people to the Word of God that will connect them to the invisible realm. Invisible realm. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Jesus. 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 We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. I want you to say this declaration together with me. I believe that there is power in declaration. When you begin to declare things, you know, you are expressing your faith. You are expressing what you believe in your heart when you begin to declare it with your mouth. I just want you to repeat this declaration together with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the power of the cross. I believe that you died, you were buried, and you rose again. You are alive in me. Greater is He that is in me than the one out there in the world. Christ in me is the hope of the glory. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. My presence becomes your presence. My presence becomes the reason why you would fulfill your purpose here on this earth. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. I believe in eternal life. I believe that you are living forever. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shout out a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a clap offering and praise him.